No. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, mi amor. God is so good. You know that that hymn is so special for me. My mom loves it very much, but I remember one night, Melanie was not having a good night, and she was a little bit afraid. And I remember holding her in my arms and thinking, what should I sing to her? And I sang, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." Oh, wow. That was peace to her heart. And so every time I hear that song, it's just so special. Two Sabbaths ago, Tina was standing here, and I was sitting there, and she asked for us to open our hymn books in hymn number 485, I believe. I Must Tell Jesus. And as soon as I heard that we were going to be singing that song, oh, that was hard for me. We didn't have the kids anymore with us. And it was heartbreaking because they loved that song. They loved singing that song. And I remember standing, and everybody was singing. I was crying. But I was telling Jesus, if you could just give me one more time. I just want to hear them, their voices, just one more time, Lord. Last Sabbath, Margie is standing here. I'm sitting there. And she said, we're going to sing the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And yes, Jesus loves the little children. Jesus heard their prayers, our prayers, and God answered my prayer. And I was able to hear the kids singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And church family, thank you so much. You welcomed the kids in such a special way. And you welcomed us, and we appreciate your prayers, your support. It's just been such a blessing to be in Roseburg for us. We are so blessed. I like to know if there are any visitors here today, any special guests today that we have, that maybe you're coming here for the first time or second or third time, but that you are here and you're a visitor. Are there any hands here? Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Welcome. We're really glad that you're here. We welcome you to our church. You know that welcome, it's also, in other places, they say gladly received. We gladly receive you. Thank you for coming. Gladly received. Now, I remember some years ago, I was flying to a country that I'd never been to. And when I was flying there, I was thinking, who's going to be there to pick me up? And since I didn't know who was going to be there to pick me up, I did the best thing I could. And I remember getting a little piece of paper, even smaller than this, and writing my name. My name is Sayuri. And so I thought, well, that will make it easier. Maybe I'll just go around. Look, I'm Sayuri. And when I got to this place, there was this big hallway, and there were windows like that, and people were looking for their family members. And here I was bringing my luggage in with my little piece of paper. Hi, I'm Sayuri. Just kind of thinking, who's here waiting for me? And all the way at the end, there was this man with a family, and he had this big sign. And the sign said, "Welcome to us, Sayuri. Welcome to us, Sayuri." You know, it's really nice to hear those words, welcome, gladly received. When you go to a home and they say, welcome to our home, praise God. Welcome to our family. Welcome to our country. Welcome, gladly received. But I'm looking forward to the day when we hear Jesus say, welcome home. Welcome home. It's going to happen soon. I believe it, and I know you believe it too. And soon we will be able to be there with Jesus and to be greeted and saying, welcome home from Jesus. So I would like for us to, before we get into the message, to pray one more time, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath. Lord, it's one less Sabbath till we get to spend every single Sabbath and every single day with you. And Father, we really want to go with you. We really want to be with you. So this morning I pray, Father, that just as we're about to open our Bibles, that you will open our hearts and minds to you and your Spirit, Lord, that we will receive the Spirit and retain the Spirit, Lord, and be led by you. That today, we will make sure that the decisions we make after the message will be decisions that get us closer to you. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible verse that we read, Isaiah 41, verse 13, it's one that I really love. It says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And here's a quote that I really like. It says, "Let us place ourselves where he can hold us by the hand." You know, this week, the weather was not so bad, right? I remember checking the weather every single day because on Thursday, I had to go to Grants Pass. And I'm always nervous when I go to Grants Pass, but especially if the weather's not good. So I was checking, and according to my app, it said that it was going to be an okay day. So I thought, I should be all right. I woke up that morning, check again, no rain, so I should be okay. I started driving towards Grants Pass, and as I passed Canyonville, everything changed. And it was white, snow. The trees had snow, the ground had snow, it started snowing. And I love the snow, but I don't like driving in the snow. And I remember thinking, if my husband could be here, he's so good at this. And after the snow, just before getting to Grants Pass, it was foggy. It was so bad that I couldn't see, maybe I could see from here till Margie, but not past that. So I had to go very slow. I hope I didn't get this wrong, but I think one of the lessons that my husband taught me was when there's snow or you see everything is really foggy, slow down, don't go too fast. So I was driving very, very, very slow. But I don't know about you. There are some times in life that we feel like we really gotta slow down because we can't see what's ahead. And we kind of feel at times alone. And we wish that there was someone that would say, "Here, I'll help you. It's this way." And will help us. Something a little bit like that happened to Joshua in the Bible. You see, from Exodus to Deuteronomy, who was the leader for the Israelites? Moses. So now let's go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Here's Joshua now. Moses is dead, and Joshua has been chosen to be the leader for the Israelites. But why Joshua? Now, just so that we can review the story of Moses and Joshua, when Moses was leading the Israelites to the Promised Land, before arriving to the Promised Land, they chose how many people to go and check the city and check the land? 12 of them. So 12 of them go, the 12, and they check and see what's going on, and then they come back to give a report. Out of the 12, 10 of them were saying, "Bad idea. Mm-mm, there's giants." And just kind of saying all the negative things that had happened, you know, that they had seen. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, yes, who were saying, "No, let's go, let's do it. We have the Lord on our side." And I really like this story, you know why? Because I think Joshua, I'm pretty sure that as he saw the giants, he may have said, "Giants, the Red Sea was open before us. This is nothing compared to what the Lord has done." They remembered everything that the Lord had been doing for them. When they were in Egypt, the plagues were coming and they were untouched. So they had seen the hand of the Lord protecting them, protecting them, protecting them, to the point that Joshua and Caleb saw the giants, saw maybe a little problem or two, but they knew that God was greater and that they would be able together because God had promised. So do you think it was a good idea to have Joshua as the next leader? Mm-hmm. You want a leader like that. So Joshua is there, but even the best leader at one point may be a little bit fearful or wonder, I don't see what's over there. And so God, he doesn't say here that he got nervous or scared, but it does say that God encouraged Joshua. And so let's read in the Bible, Joshua chapter 1, and we are going to read verse 5, 6, 7, and 9. So let's start with 5. It says, this is God talking to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, he says, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong, and he keeps repeating this to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give to them. And then in verse 7, it says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand, to the left, that thou may prosper wherever thou goest. And then the one that we know the most, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Encouraging Joshua. And after Joshua heard this from the Lord, the Bible says that he said, let's go, people. Let's go. And here it says that they cross, what river did they cross? The Jordan. And after the Jordan, we hear about Joshua having victory when they get to Jericho. Remember the song, the Walls of Jericho? We know that song because at our home, we've heard that song many, many times. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. 1,000 times hearing that song, I think we believe it. And Joshua, God was helping him. But then it comes to chapter 23. And in chapter 23, now Joshua is the one dying. Now you remember that it was God who encouraged Joshua. And now here in chapter 23, we see Joshua encouraging the Israelites. And let's read what it says on chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 3. It says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Now verse 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God has promised unto you. Now verse 6, this is repeating what the Lord had told Joshua. Now he's repeating this to the Israelites. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that it is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. And verse 8, but my Bible says, hold fast unto the Lord your God, as he has done unto as you have done unto this day. Hold fast, hold tight. That was the secret, hold tight. Don't let go, hold tight. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Every time before you come into a chapter, in many of the Bibles, you have a subtitle. I don't know about your subtitle on chapter 41 of Isaiah, but in my Bible, it says, the helper of Israel. The helper of Israel. And chapter 41, verse 8, it says, chapter 41, verse 8, it says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And then it says, verse 9, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Verse 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And then we come to the Bible verse that we read from for scripture reading, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold you your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. And when I read about this, it's really beautiful and it encourages me. But also, you may be tempted to think that was for them. They had a big project and God gave them these promises. But the Bible very clearly in 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a what? A holy nation, his own special people. And that includes you and includes me, which means the promises are for us as well. These beautiful, beautiful promises. You know, there's a quote that says, those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. And I think that happened in Joshua's case. Everything that came across, he would leave in God's hand. He would just leave it in God's hand. And God's hand started, you could see God's hand all the way in his journey. It was so beautiful. But brothers and sisters, guess what? I think that we as a church have been praying, haven't we? We have been praying. We've been leaving everything in God's hand. And I don't know about you, but I see God's hand. I see it using our own hands. You know, this morning since we got here maybe like around 9, I've seen hands, your hands. And there's people that are opening the door, and God is using you to open that door. There's people, and you know, I'm pretty sure you're going to have 1, 2, 3 persons that come to your mind that give beautiful hugs, don't they? I know of some. And I got one from Ana Maria today. And it's just so beautiful to see God working through us. You know, the deacons serving, giving this, giving that. The orchestra, the piano. Our hands are moving. Why? Because we've given everything to the Lord. And now he's using us. Do you see that? The hands of God, we are able to be little bit of the hands of God. What a privilege. What a privilege. You know, when my husband and I got married, I remember going down the aisle, and my dad, I was holding on to my dad. It was kind of steep. So I remember going down the aisle, and then my dad placed my hand in my husband's hand to have and to hold. To have and to hold. I was looking for a picture where you could actually see us, but this is as best as I came. And he was holding my hand, my husband, to have and to hold in wonderful moments. And we've had beautiful moments, but also to have and to hold in difficult times. To have and to hold in difficult times as well. And you notice that. There was a moment, a chapter here, and praise the Lord, the chapter is a little bit over, but it was a very difficult chapter for us. And yet, it's to have and to hold that God gave us each other's hand to encourage. And the same for all of us as brothers and sisters. And how beautiful, right? Because the moment that we said, Lord, this is so big, our pain, our sadness, we missed the kids. Here, Lord, there's nothing we can do. You wanted the kids to be with us. We know that, right? But what could you do? You prayed. We all gave it to God, didn't we? And then we went from 2 hands to more hands, 2 pairs of hands to 4 pairs of hands. And that's God answering. That's God answering our prayers when we leave everything in his hands. You see, I could have said, Francie, I have a problem. Help me. And she's beautiful and she loves me. But there's just not much that we can do as human beings. But if we give it to the Lord, that's a different story. It depends who is holding what you're giving. And I know I did this some months ago, but I think I need to repeat this. And it's a poem. And the poem starts, I'm going to tell you how the poem starts, but I want to show you this first. And I think you will remember this. See, if you give me a brush like this and paint, it's very dangerous. It is. You will end up with not a good outcome, a happy face, or I don't know. But if you give this to my husband, it will be nice. I testify to that. It will be beautiful. It depends whose hand it's in. So this is what the poem says. It says, a tennis racket is rather useless in my hands. And it is. And it says, but a tennis racket in Serena Williams' hands, it's worth $8 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands, it's worth about $6. A baseball in Derek Jeter's hands, it's worth $25 million. It depends on whose hand it's in. And then it says, a basketball in my hands, it's worth about $20. And that's what the person who wrote this, the person that wrote this poem said, that in his hand is $20, because in my hands, it's probably $1, a basketball. And it says, but a basketball in LeBron James's hands is worth about $110 million. It depends whose hands it's in. Now listen to this. This is my own rendition. It says, apples and crust in my hands will equal some weird-looking dish. But apples and crust in our sister Catfield's hands, one of the best pies we've ever had. It depends whose hands it's in. Now, tools in my hands will end up with a purple finger. But tools in our brother Lyndon Cruz's hands, you see the beautiful church? This is what would happen. It depends whose hand it's in. Horse, me taking care of a horse in my hands, they will probably end up with a nice hairdo. But you give horses to Crystal, and you can be sure you can win competitions. It depends whose hands it's in. Scissors in my hands will make you run. But scissors in Dan Alexenko's hands, you will end up looking good. It depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hand will help me to keep away an angry dog. But God used a rod in Moses' hands to part the mighty Red Sea. It depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands, it's a kid's toy. God used a slingshot in David's hands as a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands, it's a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in Jesus' hands fed thousands of people. It depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands may produce a bird cage to keep birds safe and secure. But nails in Jesus Christ's hands produced salvation for the entire world. It depends whose hands it's in. So as you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. Put your troubles, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, your friends in God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. Don't you agree? It depends. So I believe that Isaiah and Joshua and Daniel and Moses, they put everything in God's hands. And we were able to see the hand of the Lord. It depends. You know that Julian has this question that he loves asking. And the first time he asked the question, I clearly remember, he said, Mommy, is Donatello stronger than Jesus? And I didn't even know who Donatello was. But immediately I said, oh, yes, he's stronger. I mean, Jesus is stronger than Donatello. And he said, and then he keeps asking, is the mountain stronger than Jesus? No, Jesus is stronger than the mountain, than Donatello. And then he would say, oh, is this and that. One day he came across the story of Samson. He loves Samson's story. And he said, Mommy, is Samson stronger than Jesus? No, Jesus is stronger. And recently, he asked the question, is Satan stronger than Jesus? Oh, baby, our God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do. And the song says, he has the whole world in his hands. He is stronger. We sometimes forget how strong the hands of God are, how big, how beautiful they are. We have a quote here, and this is what happens sometimes to us. It says, for I am the Lord, well, this is the Bible verse, here's the quote. It is through a lack of faith that we fail to receive the fulfillment of God's promises. See, the Bible verse before said, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, don't fear, I will help you. But sometimes because of our lack of faith, we don't see the fulfillment of the promises. And then listen to this quote. This one hit me. It says, this is Ellen G. White saying, I asked the angel why there was no more faith and power in Israel. Lord, why isn't there more faith and power in Roseburg? And he said, ye let go of the arm of the Lord too soon. Press your petitions to the throne and hold on by strong faith. The promises are sure. Believe ye receive the things ye ask for, and ye shall have them. Let's not let go of the arm of the Lord too soon. Hold on tight. Hold on tight. So I'm going to do, we have some time, and I'm going to take about 5 minutes to do something. We've talked about the promises of the Lord, but we need to really talk about the promiser. We've talked about the promises. Let's talk about the promiser. And I really pray that God gives us at this moment eyes of faith to be able to see the hand of God moved. And I know we have a microphone here, and I wonder if maybe Sam, you could take that microphone, please, right there. And we're going to go over different Bible verses, and between Sam and Tina, if you guys could help me reading. But please, take out your Bible. We are going to hear music of Bible pages moving around, and we're praying as we're looking in our Bibles to be able to see the hand of God. And so we're going to start with this. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5.
Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, be that giveth breath unto the people unto it and spirit to them that walk therein.
Amen. And chapter 43, verse 1 and 7. Mm-hmm.
43, verse 1, New King James. But now, thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
Amen.
And verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed them. Yes, I have made them.
Amen. And now chapter 45, verse 12. That sounds beautiful.
I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded.
Do you see the hand of God creating? He created us. You know, when there's a birthday, we pray for the birthday person, but we also try to send, and some of you may not have gotten this, but we try to send you a little note, and this year, the little note says the following. How wonderful it is that the same God who created the great big mountains, the wide ocean and the amazing galaxies, looked at you and thought, the world needs one of you. We are wonderfully and fearfully made by God, the hand of God. Now, let's talk about the hand of God providing. Isaiah 41, 17.
When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongues fail for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them.
Amen. And 18?
I will open rivers in the desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water.
And 20.
And 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it.
So who provides? Is the Lord that provides? Linda Jones asked the question to the kids, what did you have for breakfast? Somebody had spaghetti. But we had breakfast. And we are here today. We have our clothing. God provides, the hand of the Lord. The hand of God protects. Let's read chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And thou the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
Amen. God protects. We don't have much time. We'll go to the next one. God's hand leading. And Sam, if you can read Isaiah 42, verse 16.
I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them.
Amen. The hand of God leading. Let's do one more. It says God, the hand of God forgiving and healing. And this is found in Isaiah 43, verse 25.
I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins.
Amen. His hand forgiving. No more sin when we come to the Lord. Now let's go to the beginning of Isaiah, and it's going to be chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. The hand of God pointing to our mission. Isaiah 6, 8, and 9.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive.
Amen. So the Lord says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Are we ready to say, here I am, Lord, send me? His hand is pointing us. There's your mission. Here's your material. Go. The hand of God. I know that a deacon gave you this little paper, but if you really put your faith glasses, you will see that it's the Lord wanting us to go and invite others to come and know more and more about the Lord. Now, his hand saving, Isaiah 53, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom in the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, And when we go see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, I keep going. Mm-hmm. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, who are the chapter that Tina just read, who are they talking about? Jesus. Because of the hands of Jesus, you and I are able to participate of salvation. The Bible verse that we all know says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that if we believe in Jesus, we will be safe." I met a different kind of Jesus some years ago. It happened in prison. And before you start wondering, it was prison ministries. And so I was there. And I remember they had asked me if I could preach to the prisoners. It was my second or third time going to this specific place. And I remember thinking, sure, you know, it's kind of scary, but it should be okay. Well, when I got there, they said there was supposed to be five ladies, but it's only you. And the rest of the team, it's men. And I remember thinking, it can't be that bad, you know, it's my team. I will go inside with my team, we'll go into the chapel, and then we'll have the program, and I'll go back home. There's no danger. There's officers everywhere. There shouldn't be a problem. We went inside, we were sitting down, and the leader of our team, he started looking around, and something was wrong. And then he came to me, and he said, "Sayuri, there's about five inmates that are not here right now, that I really want them to be here." And I went and I told the officer, and the officer told me that there's some problem in the cells where they're at, and because of that, they're not able to come. But he did say, "If you want to go get them, go ahead. We'll send one officer with you." So he said, "So I need to go and get them." Okay, I thought. And he said, "But you're the only woman here, so you kind of have to come with me." And again, I thought, it can't be that bad. I mean, the officers are there. There shouldn't be a problem. So we went out. I went with him. And there were hallways and different gates that we had to go through. And I remember it was a big hallway, and then there were doors. Now, those were not the doors of the prison cells. That was just to another hallway where the cells were at. And we would get to that door, and an officer would come, and he would say, "Who are you looking for?" So-and-so, he would go get the inmate, and then we would continue walking. And all of them were very nice, very respectful. And we kept walking, and I thought, we're almost there. There's just one more, and then we're heading back. There shouldn't be a problem. When we got to the last door, all the way to the end of the hallway, the officer came in. He looked like he was trying for us to hurry up. And to my surprise, my leader said, "We're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Jesus." Jesus in Spanish. And I thought, wait, that was kind of weird. You're looking for Jesus. But that's his name, Jesus. So the officer says, "You know, we're having a problem. I am so sorry, but you're going to have to go inside and get him yourself." He looked at me with big eyes. And I thought, go ahead, you know, I'll stay here with the police and the others. But he said, "I can't leave you by yourself. You need to come with me." Okay, well, he knows what he's doing, I thought. And he said to me, "Don't look at anybody. Keep walking. If they talk to you, don't talk to them. Don't look scared." Okay. They opened that door, and we started walking in the middle of a hallway, and the cells were on the side. And, yep, hands were going like this, whistling, saying things. And I was walking, and I was terrified. But I was pretending that, "Hi, everything's okay. I'm not nervous. We got to the place where we were supposed to look for Jesus. And when we got there, I was already very nervous. And I looked to the side, and I saw a man, too big for his bed. He was tall and very big, and he almost didn't make it to fit into his bed. And he had a Bible on his chest. And the leader said, "Jesus." And this man got up, and he came, and he said, "I was just praying to God that you would come and get me." And he was so happy. We got him, we went to the chapel, and he was just so excited to be able to participate. Well, it was time for the sermon, and I was speaking to the brothers and sharing what God had given me, and it was a message about Jesus' hands. And some of the verses that we read today, the Bible verses, I was sharing some of those verses with them and just kind of letting them know, you know, Jesus, the sacrifice that he made because of love for you and me. As I was speaking to them, I could see Jesus, and he was paying attention, but something was going on. He looked not comfortable. And at the end of the sermon, we were supposed to go to the back and greet the inmates. They would come, greet, and go. I don't know what happened. Well, I know now, but I just went to the side of the church, and I was doing something. My team actually went to the back, and here comes Jesus towards me. And first he got there, and he said, he had his Bible with him. And he says, "Sayuri," he said, "is it okay if I ask you a question?" So he has his Bible right here. And I said, "Yes, sure." And then he put his Bible like this. And he put his hands right in front of me. He said, "Do you see these hands?" "Yes." And they were big, like really big. And he says, "With these hands," and I'm still looking at his hands, he said, "Not too long ago, I killed someone," he said. And I looked at the hands again. I kind of looked like, "Whoa, am I by myself? Where's everybody?" And then he went like this, and I thought, "Oh, he's gonna kill." He said, "This is how I killed the person," he said. And he kind of went like this, and I was just looking at the hands thinking, if anything, if he moves again, I'm screaming. But then I looked at his face, and he was crying. And he said, "Do you really think that God can clean my hands? Do you really think that after what I've done, God is able to clean my hands?" I remember feeling like I wanted to cry too, and I remember thinking, telling him, "Brother, God will wash it all. Your sins, my sins, he's so powerful that he's able to do that and much, much more." You know, I heard that this brother got baptized. I heard that he gave his life to the Lord and he started serving him in the prison because he was there for life. But I don't know what happened after that. I don't know the rest of his story. But in that story, that moment right there, one thing I do know, and that is that I saw the hand of God bringing this man that was not supposed to be there, protecting me, showing him love. And I remember as he was crying, I could picture God with his hand wiping the tears away from my brother, hugging him, saying, "I want you so much. I love you." The hand of God. I saw the hand of God in this story. And as I share this story with you, you can see the hand of God, right? What about our story? Our own story. You're here today in this church, and you may be saying, "I'm here because I always come. That's just it. Or because my friends come. Or I come to keep company to so-and-so." No. We're here because it was the hand of God that brought us here today. And it's the same hand of God that has a special plan for you and for me today. A very special plan. In this powerful, In this powerful, hearty recognition of God's love, take the hand of Christ and hold it fast. His hand holds you much firmer than you can hold his hand. Isn't that beautiful? His hand holds you much firmer than you can hold his hand. That's the hand of God. That's what he can do. So I believe that this brush right here in my hands will do no good. But I do believe that God has this beautiful paintbrush that he wants to use to bring color to our life, to draw a path that will lead us to the Lord. And today we choose if we hold on tight or if we don't. I pray that we hold on tight. The hymn says, Lord, I will clasp my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to see by faith the hand of God and to hold it tight. I invite you to stand as we close with our